Chapter 4. Life is lived in epics. Yes, let's dance, we say, and so we do. We give Samuele approval to proceed on all counts. We write a check. He prepares contracts. We pack supper in a basket and drive to the ruin to tell Barlozzo that we will soon have a ruin of our own. We don't tell him that the salone has no floor, or that I've been wooed by hand-kissing, lime-scented nobles. We don't tell him even one of the particulars of the agreement with the Ubaldini. I sense it's enough for him to know that the deed is done, that we'll be leaving the old house, his old house, leaving the past to itself, and leaving the Lucci to await the next pair of doves. Having inspired this disencumbrance, knowing now that we will be safe away, as he calls it, I sense, too, that this will be his license to crouch deeper into aloneness. His work as a father is finished. We're going to need your help, I say. Not so much with the moving, but once we get there. This interim house has a garden that wants tending, and—
Stop worrying, Chu. Stop inventing jobs for me. I've got all I can do here. I'm not going to starve or let mice sleep in my beard, and I'm not going to die. You're not leaving me any more than I'm leaving you. We're all just going about our lives. You've already saved me, Chu. Flori and Fernando, and you have already done that. You see, when I do die, I won't die never having been loved, so I'm safe. Stop fretting and sparring with me. All it does is make me nervous. I'm fine, Chu. I'm better. I really am.
We pack what fits into boxes and cartons and call upon Gondrand, once again, to load them up, to ease the furniture into the big blue truck. We half expect to see the clandestine Albanians who brought us from Venice 2 years earlier, but this crew is Tunisian. Also clandestine. In the leaving light, we stand on the front steps, watch the driver heave shut the truck doors and climb up into his perch. He'll take it all directly to the magazzino, which Samuele has indicated. The boxes marked for the interim house.